listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. Tonight we're going to do something very special, something I've been looking forward to actually for months. We are going to feature the new record that I've been working on for the last year. It's going to be out in 2 weeks, and we've already got two singles that have been released. The first single is called Revolutions, which we're going to play first, but not yet. And so far, it's been getting crazy amounts of streams on Spotify. It's got 10,000 streams in about a week, and we've been releasing a song every week, trying to do like a new way of releasing this record. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about just what we went through, kind of going through this, you know, process, because it definitely was a process that I will never forget. I'm going to start with rehearsals. I remember texting all the band members saying, you know, I've got a lot of piano songs that I've never brought to any band rehearsals, and I would love to rehearse them. So I bought this cheap little piano that I got at Guitar Center for $500 that I could, you know, plug it into the PA system and set it up so I could do vocals and kind of like have two stations, a guitar station and a piano station. And, you know, the guys showed up. It was just my bass player, my drummer, my lead guitarist, Ray Bergstrom on guitar, Adam Gust on drums, and Jesse Stern on bass. And the four of us rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. We probably spent maybe 4 or 5 months just rehearsing songs. And it was kind of one of the most incredible parts of the process, because I kind of saw the vision of the songs come to full fruition. And I remember I made a recording for the first rehearsal, and we recorded a song called Give and Forgive. And I think I listened to it about 1,000 times when I came home. It was just, the arrangement was already so great. It was so simple. Nobody thought about parts. We just kind of like felt what was going to work, what was going to be right for the song. And everybody kind of came up with this arrangement together that was just so beautiful that I knew in that moment we had a record. So I listened to the other songs, and they were so different. And one of the things when I make a record, I always want it to be a little bit challenging for me as a musician, either as a writer or, you know, to kind of showcase some kind of growth. That's really for myself. I always want every record to be a terminal of how I've improved from the last record or the first record. And, you know, I always try to put some element of surprise in it. For this record, it was just doing a lot of the songs on piano, because a lot of the times I've done records in the past, if I had a piano song, I would play a solo piano song, you know, just by myself, which was great. And I love doing that. But it was really different to actually be the songwriter and band leader on piano and just try to arrange the songs in that way. And also, you know, we lost two saxophonists in the, you know, the years prior. And, you know, the funny thing is my first instinct was, oh, man, I can't wait to get saxophone on everything on this record. And we rehearsed for 6 months, you know, like that's kind of how we do it when we get into the studio. We know that there's going to be months of rehearsals and arrangements and just kind of like finalizing songs. We either do it on the road or we do it in a rehearsal space. And this time we did it in a rehearsal space. And we just rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. And I brought in so many songs, some songs that aren't on the record that still would have been great. And, you know, I may save them for other records. But I kind of started getting the collection of songs. And, you know, there's an engineer named Doug Messenger. He's been a guest on our show before. Yeah, I've made my last 3 or 4 records with him. You know, he kept calling, like, hey, when are we making this record? I said, we don't have the record yet. We have some of it. It's got, you know, holes as far as the songs. And slowly I started going through old notebooks or, you know, going through old lyric sheets and pulling out these old songs or old recordings of band concerts, you know, that we did years ago. And, you know, some of the guys, they were trying to find parts of these old dingy recordings. And it was amazing because we were able to pull out recordings and songs from 20 years ago and, you know, make arrangements for them that were fresh and new and more current. And also we did that with new songs. So it kind of became this collective vision of the record. One of the most poignant songs in the record for me as a songwriter was the song Revolutions. And it was also an experience because I wrote this song based on the Egypt revolution that happened about 5 or 6 years ago, how everybody kind of like cultivated using Facebook and social media and caused this huge, you know, political uproar. And, you know, I wrote this song kind of like just moved by how people were able to just kind of come together for a cause that was for the good, you know. And I knew then 5 years ago that that was going to be the title track of the record. I love the name of it. I love the song so much. And, you know, just something about it was very powerful to me. The message was very powerful. And so we walked into the studio and, you know, I remember we recorded that song first. Now, the funny thing about the recording of that song, when I first brought Revolutions in for rehearsals, this was, I think I brought it in 2 years ago. And I said, guys, I've got this song. I kind of just want to rehearse, you know, just to see what can come of it with the parts. And so I pushed record on my little vocal recorder and, you know, showed them the arrangements. We rehearsed it literally as we played it. We kind of just talked through it, played it once. That was the recording. And I came home and listened to it. And I was so excited about the parts because Ray, my lead guitarist, came up with this riff that he actually thought he was just, you know, bullshitting around on guitar. And I just knew that was the line. It was, you know, sometimes when you don't think about the parts or you're not thinking about the arrangement, that's when the best stuff comes about. So Ray came up with this great guitar line that I absolutely loved. And years later, when we actually performed it live, we premiered it at a Royal Secco in 2017 when we played that festival. And, you know, I wanted to show the crowd that we were going in a new direction and we had a new song and a new record that we were thinking about. And this was going to be the title track. And I asked Ray, I said, listen, you got to learn these guitar lines from this rehearsal because that is those are the parts that like that's what I want to record. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah, no, that's it. You know, I know when it's right. And that's definitely when it's right. So we premiered it at Royal Secco. And then we ended up coming back to rehearse the record with everybody. And, you know, we started with that song and I knew we had the arrangement. So I was like, oh, this is great. So then we started, you know, rehearsing other songs. But when we came to record the actual album, it only felt right to start with this song. And I don't know what it was about this whole process of this album, but we opened with recording Revolutions. We did a couple takes of Revolutions and then we just went through the whole record. Now, the crazy thing about this song is it's a political song. It talks about people looting in the street. It talks about education taking its plight. It talks about, you know, political leaders and banks and how they're kind of controlling society in a lot of ways. Usually I don't write about stuff like that. So it's very odd for me to write something so politically outspoken. But the thing that was kind of amazing about it, when we mixed the song, we actually, and this just didn't happen, you know, like on purpose. We mixed the song on the first day of the riots that were happening in LA due to the George Floyd riots. So people were looting in the streets as we're mixing this song. And, you know, it was crazy because all of this commotion was happening around us. And we were in this little studio mixing this song on analog tape. And there was something super powerful about feeling the energy that was happening in real time and knowing that this song was written 5 years before, but it was being created during this commotion. And it was just, I don't think I ever would have been able to plan something like that. And this serendipity of it, it was kind of an amazing experience. And we knew we had it. I think we mixed it on the second try. We did everything with no automation, no computers. So we were using our hands for the faders and just moving all the tracks where we wanted them to be. And it just came together and it just sounded so revolutionary for us, you know? And so I knew it was going to be the first single. I want to start this radio segment with playing the first single. So here is Revolutions, the first single off our album.
Inside us, hear the answers to reside. Governments will try to break us. See the revolutions come. When the world becomes divided, corporations rule the people like we're puppets on a string. Get all the citizens united, make them walk a wider business so we don't have to pay the price. People looting in the streets where education takes its fight to help our leaders reach the bottom line. But making time to take the blinders off each other will inspire us to keep people out of our eyes. Revolutions come to build our world as one. Revolutions come to build our world as one. Inside us, hear the answers to reside. Governments will try to break us. See the revolutions come. Makes us even stay at night with expectations not to fight us over money we have earned. We'll cast these spells and pick offenses in our minds with no defenses, even dreams of generations ahead. The illusion of confusion breaks the pillars of our future, who's a step that we never take. In many Wall Street pick our pockets, evil crimes have been committed, time to stop front to us all. Revolutions come to build our world as one. Revolutions come to build our world as one. Inside us, hear the answers to reside. Governments will try to break us. See the revolutions come. See the revolutions come. See the revolutions come. See the revolutions come.
Yeah, very cool. I want to talk a little bit about the album artwork because the album cover is honestly one of my favorite things about the record. And, you know, it came about very kind of serendipitously as well. A friend of mine named Michael Carmen, who I'd gone to Coachella with and hung out with a bunch of friends that we always used to go to Coachella with. You know, he used to come to the house and bring all this DJ gear. And, you know, when I asked him what he does, he's like, oh, you know, I do a lot of lights and stuff for DJs in Vegas. And so I always just assumed that was his thing. And one day on Instagram, he just released these pictures that he had created, these graphics. And it looked very much like the record, and I was so blown away. And I always look for artists to, you know, kind of create something spectacular for every record. And I love using artists that not many people may know. And the funny thing about this is Michael's been a friend of mine for years, and he was right under my nose, and I didn't even know that he made such spectacular artwork. And so I said, hey man, is this, you created this? And he said, yeah. I said, you painted this, you created this, you designed it. He said, yeah, 100%. I said, man, you've got to do the album artwork. I mean, this is unbelievable. And I said, would you be down to do that? And he said, yeah, man, I used to do it all the time for various labels. And I said, well, I want you to do, you know, the most insane layout that you can think of. And he really did. I mean, front to back, this album is beautiful. It has colors and lights and spectrums of just visuals that really kind of mirror a lot of the music. And the funny thing is, you know, when we were mixing the record and mastering the record, usually I send the artist the music. And for, you know, for this, because the band members hadn't heard it, nobody had heard the record, I said, you know what, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until the record is out, until we release it for everybody to hear it. So, you know, I told him the vibes of the music, and, you know, he's known about the band forever. But, yeah, when he created the album artwork, you know, he asked me, like, what's your concept? I said, the concept is revolution. So any way that word means something to you, it could be the revolutions of planets revolving. It could be revolutions of, you know, movements being made within people. It could be dimensions. It could be anything that you think. And he made this really dreamscape, you know, album artwork that when he showed it to me, it still takes my breath away. And it took my breath away the first time I saw it. And I literally stared at it for hours before I responded to him via email. And I said, man, that's it. I mean, that is the most insane thing I've ever seen. And I love it. And I can't believe it's going to be our cover. And, you know, he was like laughing about it. He was like, great. I can't wait to see it on vinyl. Because he knew we were making vinyl copies. The cool thing about Michael, he was so detailed in how he created the album artwork for both the CD and the vinyl. They both have little differences, and it's what makes the record so great. It makes the album so great. And it's artwork that I sink into every time I look at it, because it's a little bit dreamy. It's a little bit abstract. It's a little bit it's like got warmth to it too. But it's got so many beautiful colors kind of swirling around each other. I still don't understand how he got, like, you know, these colors to look like lights, you know, on the album. But yeah, he really made this album artwork just pop on so many levels. So yeah, I couldn't wait. And when, you know, I always release the artwork, you know, slowly. When you're an indie artist, you have to find ways to promote in a way that's, you know, exciting for you. And if it's exciting for you, maybe it'll be exciting for others. But I like to, like, release the album artwork. So it's like a, you know, you take everybody on the journey. So I took pictures of us in the studio recording music, or a special guest to give an idea of who's going to be on the record. But when the album artwork is done, that's really like the first proper PR that I love to do for the records, is when the album artwork is done, because now you have the title page of the entire vision of the song, of the music. So, you know, when Michael finished the album artwork, I was so overjoyed to promote it and post it. And when I did, the amazing thing was the response. I mean, the response from people on Facebook, Instagram, they were like, this is incredible. Oh my God. I even had friends, you know, searching for Michael to ask him to do other projects. And, you know, it was one of those incredible moments. This is my bulldog saying hello. He always likes to say hello. But anyways, when Michael finished the artwork, it was one of those experiences that kind of, like, blew my mind, because it was all the things that I had hoped for and so much more. And that's all you can ever ask for when you're asking somebody to create some kind of art, you know, with your music. So yeah, we released the artwork about 6 months before we released the song order and all of that. And, you know, it was great to work with a friend on this project and have him be so professional and so just committed to the project to make it over the top. And that's what he did. He made it over the top. So every image, you know, has a really cool layout, because it's not just images of the band, like past records. We actually featured everybody that played on the record or worked on the record, you know. So you see the horn section, you see friends of mine from college that sang on the record, you see musicians that were special guests. And you come along on the journey with us. So that was the idea. And he just did a spectacular job to kind of create that. So we're gonna move on to the next track. This is called Testify. And what was really great about this track was, you know, I started this band in 2003, and we were playing African music and soukous music and kind of like reggae and funk and rock and pop. And, you know, because it was acoustic, you know, for a lot of it when we were starting, you know, I had a lot of industry people tell me, oh, it needs to be edgy. I got so tired of hearing that. And we made our own way. We found our own way to get into festivals, to open up for our heroes and play in front of like crowds of 10,000 plus and sell out venues. And we did it our way. And that was the best thing. But on this record, I was like, you know what? I can put together an edgy track. I'm going to put together an edgy track with some heavy guitars, with, you know, some elements that people aren't going to expect. One of which was a DJ named DJ Battleship. His name is Cruz Martinez. And he was actually our opening act at Sundance maybe 6 years ago. And, you know, he came up to me, or the promoter said, hey, I want to introduce you to your opening act. I said, cool. And he said, this is DJ Battleship, a.k.a. Cruz Martinez. I was like, oh, awesome, man. What kind of stuff do you do? And he said, oh, I DJ everything, but I really love old hip hop and, you know, house and funk. And I said, oh, really? Like, I'm like, do you scratch? And he said, yeah, I can scratch a little bit. And he kind of brought me over to the stage, you know, to show me what he can do. And he just started scratching like the craziest scratching I've ever seen a DJ do. And I was like, my eyes like lit, you know, I was just completely overwhelmed. I said, man, you've got to sit in with us. And he said, man, I'd love to. I always look for bands to sit in with. I'm like, man, you've got to sit in with us. And, you know, the funny thing is I didn't tell the band. The band was scattered all over the club, you know, having dinner or meeting people or talking with friends. And so, you know, I had him sit in with the band, and the band was surprised, but they were so cool with it. And then what ended up happening was my drummer and Cruz and my percussionist, they were all trading solos and swapping fours, as you call it in the music world, where they were, you know, trading little solos back and forth. And the crowd went crazy. The band was going crazy. Like, we were giggling on stage, like, how awesome is this? So I knew I was going to try to incorporate him at some point on a record, and this song was the song. So Cruz came all the way from Utah, and, you know, he was nervous to record on analog tape. He'd never done anything like that before, as a lot of musicians today are. And, you know, he said, you know, what should I do? I said, you know what, I'm just going to have you listen to the track a couple times and just kind of like, just try and scratch, you know, and I'll kind of try to direct you, but I just want you to feel the song too. Funny thing is, like, you know, he listened to it for about 15 minutes, and then I was like, you want to try one? And he said, yeah. And the first take is the one that we ended up going with. He nailed it right on the first take. I said, you hit it out of the park. It was so crazy because he had never done anything quite like this to kind of like play in certain places, but he just nailed it, and it made the track. So, you know, he was one of the voices of this song that creates that edge, creates that funk, and it creates a totally new sound that people they're not going to expect it from us. So here's the song Testify featuring DJ Battleship, a.k.a. Cruz Martinez.
Pop, pop, pop.
come testify. Don't pass by it. Take out all confusion if your mind can find it. Certify it. Beautify it. Pacify it. Do whatever you think you have to try it. I'm here for you. I live for you. Glorify it, satisfy it, magnify it, break up on the handkerchiefs if you deny it, amplify it, quantify it, dignify it, elevate it up with every act behind it, come testify, come testify. Come testify. Come testify.
Yeah. All right. I was getting lost in the artwork. I don't know if you can see me, but if you can. All right, we're back. So, yeah, you know, it was kind of like my big up yours to the industry just because, you know, when we need to play with Edge, we can. And that's what I loved about, you know, recording this track because there was so much going on, but it had room for all of it. And you can hear the drummer, Adam, and Cruz kind of going back and forth between the drums and, you know, the DJ turntables. And then Ray and I are trading guitar solos. I love Ray's guitar solo in this track. You know, we're like snapping at each other via guitar. And then he just really you know, gives me the craziest attitude in this guitar solo. It's like very Eddie Van Halen-ish. And yeah, it's just an awesome guitar solo. So kudos to you, Ray. Good job. Good job. You got the gig. Anyways, yeah, so, you know, this record has been this terminal of kind of going through different things that we wanted to kind of showcase. One of the things that was interesting with this record, my first instinct was, you know, like I said earlier, to have saxophone on every part of the record. And, you know, as we rehearsed with just the four of us, as we were getting closer to, you know, the recording phase, it just kind of dawned on me. I'm like, you know what? This record isn't about replacing the saxophonist that we lost. That shouldn't be what it's about. The four of us are carrying on after we lost these band members, and that's what we should showcase. We should showcase that this band has gone through adversity not once but twice, and here's a way to kind of, you know, pay tribute. And, you know, it was a tough 4 years, I think, for me because I lost Zane, our first saxophonist. Then I lost my best friend, Sean. Then I lost Mike, our other saxophonist. And I lost my cousin, Curran Joseph, a genius piano player. So when I lost Curran, that was one of the reasons that made me want to bring in all these piano songs, just to pay tribute to him. And when we were recording, you know, and working on rehearsing the band, it just didn't make sense to replace Zane and Mike with just, you know, another horn player to play all over the record when it was the four of us that were kind of like connecting and kind of creating something together. So I kind of decided, you know what, let people feel the absence of them in the same way that we feel it, because we feel it when we play. And I miss those guys immensely. Like, I still think about them all the time. I know we made a record that made them proud, but I miss playing with them. I miss hearing them. But the great thing about this record is we were able to kind of create a mood and a vibe and a beauty to the loss that created this kind of great, beautiful vibe, just that we were able to carry on and create in their honor. So so you don't hear saxophone on this record all that much, but there are two songs. One, which is called I Wish I Knew, which is dedicated to Zane, Mike, and Karin. And, you know, the cool thing about that song is I actually had, was before Zane died, there's a friend of his called Nate Kettner. And he said, if you ever need a saxophonist, Nate is my twin, my musical twin. So Nate, you know, I'd always called him to sub for Zane or other people when they, you know, they couldn't do the gig, and he's always booked. And so I called him months in advance. I said, hey, man, I know you're always booked, but I want you to do this record with us because, you know, we haven't even met face to face, but Zane always said you were his twin, and I'd love to have that voice on the record. So I had Nate actually record solos on soprano sax and tenor sax to represent both Zane and Mike. And then we had a guy named John J.T. Thomas, who was so generous. He actually lent me his keyboard to do all my scratch piano tracks. And he came in at the end of the whole record and laid down the piano solo to kind of represent my cousin. And so it's just these three voices, you know, towards the end of the record that are playing on that song. I'm not going to play it tonight because I'll probably get emotional, but we're going to play another song called Power Through the Pain. And the significance of this song, I always love that gospel feel, that slow gospel feel in music. And one of the artists that actually made me go down this road to learn that piano playing style was Peter Gabriel, the song Don't Give Up. I learned the bridge where he starts going into this gospel section, and I was like, this is amazing. And so I always kind of wanted to write something with those chords or those kind of changes, but, you know, I knew it would come at the right time. And you know, this was one of the most recent songs I wrote, and I still think it's one of the best songs I've ever written. I'm so thankful that I wrote it. It's like one of those songs. And, you know, when I was recording the song, I'd done, I think, maybe six or seven songs of me doing all the harmonies. I love doing harmonies on my own records. That's one of my favorite things to do. But after doing them for 20 years, you know, I was in the studio and I'd done six songs before, and we were doing this song, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of hearing me sing these harmonies. I need to call Maya Sykes. And Maya Sykes, one of the things I love about her was, I don't even know if she knows this. I think I've told her this, but she's one of the best singers I've ever heard. But she's also one of the greatest people that I've ever known and have, you know, gotten to just connect with. She's just an amazing spirit and soul. And when Zane, you know, during his memorial, when Zane passed, I was a mess. And I just remember crying through the whole memorial. Just, I couldn't hold it together. It was just so devastating. And she got up there and spoke and was so just really uplifting on so many levels. You know, like, she had all these funny anecdotes with Zane, and it just like really moved me. And so, you know, I wanted her voice on the record, but also I wanted her on the record because I remember that moment, and I remember how special it was for me to just feel that connection to her through Zane. So, you know, I called her. I said, hey, are you free right now? And she said, I need a nap, but I'll be free in an hour and a half. I said, okay, I've got this song. I know your voice would be the perfect thing to, you know, to add to this. And so she came into the studio at like 10:30 at night, and I just had the lyrics on. I said, here are the lyrics. I want to play you this Joe Cocker song, Bye Bye Blackbird. And I said, this is the style I want to go after. And I'm like, I know you can nail this. Maya literally did one take for every vocal. She did all the harmonies, all in one take. The most amazing part of it is I said, you know, give me a take of ad-libs. And so she gave me a take of ad-libs. We left them all in, and she did it all in one take. And it was just the most glorious part of the record. I think it's my dad's favorite part of the record, you know, and actually I know it is. It is my dad's favorite part of the record. But there's something about her voice that makes this song for me. It's something about her voice that makes the record for me in a lot of ways. And the funny thing is I knew what I wanted to do for the guitar solo, for my guitar solo. I knew I wanted to play the guitar solo on this one. And I had kind of like composed a part. And the funny thing is when you compose a part and walk into the studio, it doesn't always flow like you think it's going. I was like, oh, this is going to take me 2 or 3 takes. I ended up playing that guitar solo 45 different ways with different little parts of it phrased in different ways, and it was never it. And then on the 46th or 47th take, whatever it was, I got it, and I was so happy because I knew it had the nuance of the entire song that I wanted it to, you know, to make people feel. And so here is Power Through the Pain by the Nikhil Kurula Band. Enjoy.
Power.
dance in the rain.
Man, gets me every time. Anyways, that song also features some amazing players. Marty Rifkin on pedal steel guitar, Will Harrington on Hammond organ. And the cool thing about that is it's the band sounds so big. The band is actually, it sounds exactly the way I've always wanted the band to sound in a lot of ways. It's got that, you know, kind of down home, you know, greasy southern feel. It's got that, you know, this huge, huge sound where all the parts are, you know, create something larger than what we could on their own, you know. So there's a lot of really beautiful things about that track that get to me. And I hear, you know, different parts of it come and go, you know, throughout the song. It kind of sounds like something straight out of Stax a little bit, you know, the Memphis label from back in the day. I'm so happy that I was able to write the song and let alone, you know, be able to capture it with such a magnificent cast of musicians and singers and players. Big shout out to Ray for that opening guitar solo, because that was one of the things that kind of like helped us to just drop into the song. It was just a great solo. I had such a great time, you know, recording that track. And Maya, man, kudos to your vocals on that track, because it's just unbelievable. I want to feature another song. This one's called All Night. I want to talk a little bit about it first. So, funny thing is, I'm a huge, huge Ray Charles fan. Ray Charles is one of the biggest influences on me on so many levels. You know, I love all the gospel stuff he does. I love all the, you know, kind of like the old R&B stuff that he did. He was just a pioneer. And nobody's really doing that stuff anymore. And it kind of bummed me out, because when I first sang at the Grammys when I was 11 years old, and I sang backup for Mike and the Mechanics, and I just remember being overwhelmed by all the musicians and superstars that we were able to see and be around. We got to have lunch, you know, with Billy Joel, and we just had all these incredible experiences. We met people like Milli Vanilli too, Fine Young Cannibals, but I remember a specific moment of Ray Charles playing the piano, and you know, we were in the backstage area, which was at Shrine Auditorium, underneath the stage. And so I remember Ray Charles playing the piano and stomping his foot on the floor. And I remember being right underneath that stage and seeing kind of like the floorboards kind of like moving every time he, you know, was, you know, slamming his foot on the floor, and just being completely tripped out that I was directly underneath Ray Charles as he was playing and performing the most soulful track. So he's always been like this lingering presence in my musical spectrum, but I had never really written something that was kind of like in that vein. And so I wrote this song called All Night. And it was just, you know, something that came out of me, and it was all the right Ray Charles feels. And I put together, you know, originally I was going to have the Tower Power Horns play on the record. And with COVID, it just didn't make sense. But really, when it came time to, you know, putting together a horn section, I was like, I'm going to put together an even more epic horn section than Tower of Power with friends of mine, because I think that I know some of the most talented people I know in music, especially horn players. So to keep the vibe of like honoring Zane and Mike and all those guys, I had a lot of their friends play on the record. So I put together this horn section with Sean Eric, who plays trumpet for Justin Timberlake, Leon Silva, who plays saxophone for Justin Timberlake, Ludo Ludovic, who plays trumpet for Lenny Kravitz, and Nate Kettner, who's this unbelievable jazz artist that plays all over, and Lasim Richards, who plays trombone for everybody from Jay-Z to Dave Matthews Band to you name it, and Wes Smith, who plays with saxophone for Booker T. And these guys were just a riot to be around. I've known them for years. I have such like the most utmost respect for them as musicians. It was a treat to work with them. And this was the first song I had them play on, and they knew Zane, they knew Mike very well, and I said, this one's for them. And I joked with them. I said, I was gonna call Tower of Power, but I decided I'd rather have you guys because you're my number one. And Sean was like, it sounds like we were your number two. Not true though, man. Honestly, those guys made the record for me in so many ways, and I had them play on two tracks. And this one really, it featured them. And also I featured a singing group from college called All Right that I used to sing with. And they're some of my closest friends to this day. We started singing at Laker games and Dodger games before the pandemic and just had a blast doing it. So we kind of reconnected with music again. And so I brought them into the studio and it was such a great session. It didn't last long enough. It was such a fun session to sing with those guys. So it features... All Right, my singing group from college. It features this unbelievable horn section, and I'm playing Wurlitzer on the track, which is what Ray Charles loved to play. And it also features back-to-back solos with myself going first and then Will Harrington playing Hammond's solo. So and he kills it. He plays the most insane solo. It's so great. Anyways, enjoy. This is All Night by the Nikhil Kurula Band.
Telling myself this is the way to do for me. I'm better.
That's right. You know what? That was a real joy to record. Man, that horn section is so slamming. And, you know, one of the horn players, Nate, said, anytime you want to do horns with those guys, I'm in, because it was such a slaying horn section. It really was. Those guys, they just were one of the most dynamic horn sections I've ever worked with, and they were just phenomenal. It was just an amazing track. And same with everybody that played on the song, from Will's Hammond solo to singing with my college guys that I used to sing with back in the day. And, you know, also the band. The band just played all the right parts. You know, it was just good times all the way around. I'm going to play another song called The Other Side. And the reason I want to play this, too, it's one of my favorite songs. I think it is my favorite song on the record. And, you know, a lot of things happened when we were just kind of like creating the song. One of the coolest things that my lead guitarist, Ray, you know, we were arranging the song and we were playing the chorus, and the chorus originally went from A to E minor. And Ray was like, hey, let's switch those chords. Let's switch E minor, go E minor to A. And it completely changed the feel of the chorus. And I just fell in love with it right away. I was like, oh my God, I never would have seen that coming. It's just so great. So we ended up doing these really cool arrangement parts in the bridge. It goes to this kind of like halftime feel. And Ray and Jesse, my bass player, came up with this kind of like Queen style guitar part that would be like this, you know, homage to Queen in a lot of ways. So there's like elements of Elton John, elements of Queen, elements of the Grateful Dead in this song. It also features that same horn section. It also features that same singing group from college. So, you know, there's so many songs I want to feature in this segment, but I want to save some too for the record when you just hear it, because I'm trying to feature songs in different ways on various platforms, from Spotify to this radio show to iTunes. So check it all out. The record's going to be out January 29th. As a way to release the record, I actually went to Village Studios, where I recorded the piano for the record, and decided to do something very different. In 17 years of releasing records, I've never not done a performance that was attached to the release. But there are no clubs open right now, and I didn't want to put anybody in harm's way. So I decided to just go to Village. I brought a small camera crew, and I played 6 songs from the record, 5 songs on piano, 1 song on guitar. And we just did real intimate portraits of the record that completely contrasts what the record sounds like in some ways, but just as a way to attach a live performance. So it's actually very close to being finished. We're going to release it on January 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and release it as the performance that is attached to the release of the record. And yeah, that's just one of the cool things that we're doing. So this song I love because it's, you know, it's one of the few songs on the record where I got to play piano and then jump on guitar and play a cool guitar solo. This guitar solo, I didn't know what I was going to play, and it ended up coming about in a really cool way. I didn't know what I was going to play, and then I just kind of like closed my eyes, and I was like, you know, I prayed to the music gods a little bit. I said, Prince, Jimi Hendrix, if you want me to play a solo that is going to be the one, let this be the take. And that's the take that's on the record. So, you know, there's something about this record that has a lot of magic to it in moments. And that keyboard solo I did on the Wurlitzer, I don't think I could play that lick at the very end ever again. I don't think I ever could play that again. And that was one of the things that happened. It's just like, well, we got it. And this solo, I don't know if I would have composed it in the same way. So this features everybody. We threw everything in the kitchen sink. This is The Other Side. Forgotten, but no one needs a friendly face.
myself. I play this game by all the rules, but sometimes fake restrains you from doing the things you wanna do. Just bring me to somewhere new that somehow seems familiar, and keep my clothes ones right behind to fight. When do we show the pain we know? I'm losing all forgiveness. Trust is always sacrificed. I'm living the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. I'm living the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry. I'm living the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. I'm living the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry. I wanna take myself to someplace else. My path leads me to a place where no one knows me. I guess this is where I'm supposed to be. We'll see. And as my seeds start to grow, my roots will never falter. But we can be the light we need to be. So how can we know which way to go when every shore is crowded and everyone leaves without a trace? Now my conscience won't let me hide. I've been to the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry. I've been to the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. I've been to the other side.
All right, so those are all the songs I'm going to feature tonight. It's been a pleasure to share this album with you. I can't wait for you all to hear this. Once again, January 29th, 2021 will be the release date. You can get all of the songs on Spotify. You can get all the songs on iTunes, Amazon Music, all major platforms. If you want physical copies, nkband.com. I will sign them personally. I'm also doing that for vinyl, but vinyl is going to take about a month for them to be printed. And on January 29th, we're also releasing the video performances, One Night at the Village. They'll be all available on all major platforms probably within the next couple weeks as well. But, yeah, we're releasing one song, one single every week. The first single was Revolutions. It's got 10,000 streams already. The next one's Testify. The next single is going to be Give and Forgive, which I didn't play tonight because it's the next single. And then the next single after that is By My Side, which I also didn't play tonight. So there's a little bit of variety of songs and a different spectrum, so you can hear the whole record. Thank you for believing in this music. Thank you for just supporting indie artists. And I'm always going to make music, and I love having this vehicle to kind of share this story and the backstory of the record. And thank you to Ronan too. You've helped me keep this radio show alive, working and functioning. So thank you so much for being willing to do this radio show with just me, the host and the guest as one person. Anyways, I'm going to sign off, but thank you all so much. Revolutions, January 29th, 2021. Shout out to everybody that made this record. It was a pleasure and an honor. I'll talk to you guys soon.